Amen. Well, we're in Jeremiah chapter 3 and chapter 4, and do call your attention to our text, verse 3 of chapter 4. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. I thank you for the music. I thank you for everyone who's here. Thank you for an opportunity, Lord, for us to let you speak to our hearts, and I pray we will listen. I pray we'll open our hearts, and God, that we'll make the decisions you want us to make. Certainly, God, if there's anyone here not saved, please save them today. And by far, most of the folks here are Christians already saved. Lord, I pray you'll break up our fallow ground. Speak to hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of Jeremiah, of course, is Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And the book right after Jeremiah is Lamentations, and to lament is to cry, again, written by Jeremiah. And really, much of his ministry was one of tears. Much of Jeremiah's ministry, much of his preaching was begging and pleading for God's people to get right. The passage here that we read, verses 20 to 25, again, just another begging and pleading. And into verse 1, if thou wilt return, O Israel. Just begging and pleading for God's people to get right and to be right and to live right. And much of my preaching, much of the preaching in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church is that kind of preaching. Certainly, we preach the gospel and try to reach the lost and see the lost saved. And that is very, very important. But much of our preaching is really, it boils down to begging and pleading for God's people to do right and just to be right and just to do what God wants us to do. And he talks here about fallow ground, and he talks about the ground that we have, which really is our lives. That really is our natural state. It's ground. It's fallow ground. And you'll notice here in Genesis, go back to Genesis 3, and familiar verses here, Genesis 3 and verse 17. Here's our natural state. Genesis 3, 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Notice what God said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. That's pretty much the natural state of mankind. Thorns, thistles, and fallow ground. Ground that is not producing any kind of fruit. It just produces thorns and thistles. So obviously we have to recognize that if anything's going to happen with our lives, with our ground, then it's going to have to be broken up. Because otherwise, we're just going to reap, and we're going to have thorns and thistles, and that's going to be our life. And so, God says in chapter 4, verse 3, he says, break up your fallow ground. Break up that ground that only can yield thorns and thistles. Break it up. It has to be different. I preached Let Us Go On. And really, part of going on in the Christian life, part of the going on that we are supposed to do, that God tells us to do, is to break up our fallow ground. God wants your field to bring forth fruit. God wants your life to bring forth fruit. God wants you to have some reward when you get to heaven. God has a plan for every one of our lives, but his plan is not that we simply have a bunch of thorns and thistles in our life. God wants more than just sin as a result of our life. God wants our lives to yield and bring forth wonderful fruit for the kingdom of God. And so again, he says, here's what has to happen. Naturally, you get saved and your ground is still fallow. You trust Christ as Savior and your ground is still fallow. You know, it's sad to say, some folks have been saved for years and you still have fallow ground. And the ground is not bringing forth the fruit that you could bring forth in your life. And God says, break up that fallow ground. Break it up. It's like a wild horse being broken. We must be broken from our own will to the master's will, so that those thorns and thistles, as that ground is broken up, they're plowed up and they're exposed, and the sin of our life is exposed, and then it can be gotten rid of so we can bring forth fruit. And really, that's what he's talking about here in Jeremiah 3. So I want to give you three things to think about this morning. Number one is the reason. The reason that we are supposed to do that. The reason. You see, here's the thing. Action is needed here. There's no question as you read this, I mean, God is calling for action. Hey, you say, well, I just kind of like to exist, and as long as you just exist, your ground is fallow ground. As long as all you do is exist in your Christian life, then your ground is full of thorns and thistles. Oh, you say, preacher, but I don't do the things I used to do. I understand that. But the thorns and the thistles of inactivity, the ground is not bringing forth the fruit that God has for you to bring forth. And therefore, action is needed. You know, every time we read the Bible, there should be action taking place in our lives. Something should be happening as the Word of God plows through our life. Some thorns and thistles ought to be getting exposed. Now again, if all we do is read the Bible, if all we do is just kind of look at the words, if all we do in church is just sort of watch the preacher and we're not letting God speak to us, then it's just going to stay fallow ground. By the way, before there's fruit, there has to be a breaking. And salvation is a good example of that. I mean, before I got saved, I had to realize I was a sinner. I got news for you. Before you got saved, you had to realize you were a sinner too. There was a breaking that took place. I didn't like that. I'll be honest. I mean, I thought I was a pretty good kid. I thought as a teenager, you know, I didn't do a lot of the things that other teenagers did. I did some things, but I thought I was a pretty good kid. And I didn't really like that breaking process as the Word of God plowed through my life. But I realized I was a sinner. And that ground had to be busted up and had to be broken up. And you know, as the ground was plowed, those weeds started popping up all around. I could see them up and I could see the roots up exposed. And I said, you know, there's some things in my life, I am going to go to hell. And I realized I needed Jesus to save me. You look, folks, we understand that. And you know, it's amazing how we'll have a loved one, we'll have a relative, we'll have a coworker, and we'll give them a gospel tract, and we'll pray, and we'll say, oh God, please speak to their heart, show them their need for Jesus. But in our own lives, we don't come to church saying, oh God, speak to my heart, show me the need for my ground to be plowed. That's how we ought to come to church. That's how we ought to go to Sunday school class. Amen. You know, it's amazing how some folks will come, and it's almost like, I dare you to try to get to me. Look, I'm not trying to get to you. I'm wanting you to ask God to break up your fallow ground. When I read my Bible, I'm asking God, break up my fallow ground. I don't want thorns and thistles to be my crop. I don't want that to be the testimony of my life. I wouldn't think anybody'd want that. I would think that we would all want to bring forth fruit that will be a blessing and fruit that will remain for the cause of Christ rather than thorns and thistles. You say, well, look, action is needed. And as we read our Bible, as we hear preaching, there should always be that desire in our hearts. God, whatever I need, whatever should happen, God, speak to my heart. The reason, okay, here's why. First of all, it's fallow ground. Fallow ground. You say, I'm not used to that word. I don't know what it means. Well, I'm glad I can help you out here. Fallow ground is plowed but unused ground. It's been plowed at one time, but it's unused, and therefore it has become hard and crusty. And the only thing that can grow in it, and you see this in a field, thorns, thistles, weeds. Nothing else grows. I mean, it's hard. It's crusty. Isn't it amazing how weeds grow anywhere? I never have understood how weeds can grow where nothing else can. You try to grow flowers and they die and there's the weeds. You try to plant some plants and do a little landscaping, and sure enough, you know, when nothing else is making it, here come the weeds. They always make it. I remember one of our first gardens that my wife and I decided to plant. Constantly we had to battle with weeds. And you know, the beans aren't looking good. No, but the weeds sure are looking good. They just always look good. And it's amazing in this fallow ground how that God says the thorns, they grow. Thistles, they grow. Everything's growing except the fruit in your life. That's why action's needed. Because there's thorns and thistles. That's all that grows there. But see, that fallow ground is fallow ground. That's a result of inactivity because it was plowed once. It was dealt with once, but it's been a long time, and now it's hard and it's crusty. And as long as we do nothing to that ground, then nothing's going to happen with that ground. It's fallow ground. God says, break it up. Break it up. It's fallow ground. Second thing I see here, it's fruitless ground. It's fruitless ground. Why? Because seed can't take root. You know, one of the things about with grass and everything, you can't just throw seed on hard ground and hope everything works out all right. You gotta work that ground up a little bit to get that seed in the ground. And this fallow ground, you can throw all the seed out there you want, but it isn't going to make it because it cannot take root into that because the ground is just too hard. It's been plowed, but it's all crusted over, and it's going to be fruitless. You know, I don't want my life to be fruitless. I don't want my life, and you should not want your life to have no fruit for God. Well, I know right now we don't seem to care about that so much. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but I promise you this, one day it's going to seem like a big deal. One day when you stand before Jesus, you'll want to have something to show for the life that He saved. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we're going to want to have something to show for it than just, well, here's some thorns and thistles. Could you imagine, it's Mother's Day, and you go out and you know, everybody's bringing flowers to Mom, and boy, she has these beautiful flowers, and you go out and get her a big old platter full of thorns and thistles. I'm not sure you'd be in big trouble. Sir, it's your anniversary. Try it this time. Next anniversary, bring her some thorns and thistles for the anniversary. That ought to spark romance. Yeah, I can just hear it now, Pastor. I'm dead. It's over. I did what you said. You know, you need to do other things, I say. Probably don't do that. But that'll get you in trouble. But you know, that's what we're going to present to God. Thorns, thistles. Why? Because our ground's fallow. Doesn't mean you're just a wicked person. It means, you come to church and don't expect anything. You read your Bible and don't expect anything. You pray, and you don't expect anything. And what you should expect is, God, break up the ground. Fallow, it's fruitless. And third, it's failed ground. It's barren. It's waste ground. You know, and I often think, what could have been? What could have been if the ground had just been broken up? In our text that we read, in the passage we read, verse 24, it says, for shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers. You see it? Shame. It goes on in verse 25. It says, we lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. No, shame. It is a shame. When Jesus Christ dies on a cross to pay for our sins and to give us abundant life, to do something with that life, and all we have to offer is thorns and thistles and fallow ground. Hey, inspect your ground this morning. Better yet, let God inspect your ground. How's your ground? What's there in your ground? Look at Hebrews 6 real quick. We were there just last week talking about let us go on. Hebrews 6 and verse 7. But it ties in so well. Hebrews 6 and verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them, by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Is that your life? God rains His blessings down, but it's going down on fallow ground. All it's doing, that rain will come down on that fallow ground, but then the sun will come out and it'll dry up and it'll just be more crusty than ever. And the blessings come down and the fruit should be abundant. But instead, the thorns just grow bigger. Instead, the ground just gets harder. And there's still just failed ground. How sad. The reason action is needed, because it's fallow ground, it's fruitless ground, and if we do nothing about it, it'll be failed ground for the cause of Christ. Number two, we see the request, and it's very simple. Break up. Break up your fallow ground. And by the way, the understood subject there is you. You break up your fallow ground. You break it up. Your fallow ground. You know, we are fallow ground experts when it comes to everybody else. We're watching everybody else's field. Wow, look at their field and all the thorns and the thistles in their field. Boy, that's nasty. No. He's not saying break somebody else's ground. He's saying you break up your fallow ground. Look at your own ground. See your own ground. How's it doing? Huh? Not everybody else's. Your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. And he says, and sow not among thorns. Because again, breaking up that fallow ground uproots all of those weeds. It uproots all of those thorns. And they're exposed to the sun. And eventually they dry up and die. And you know, a humble spirit exposes sin and roots of sin that we have in our lives. Without that ground is hard, and I'm telling you, those roots find a way down deep, and it's hard. You ever try to pull up some of those thorns and thistles? It's tough stuff, unless you break up the ground and pull those things up by the root. Look at 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. We know it. Many have it memorized. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. And the thing that I always think about is it starts off, if my people, he's not talking to the lost here. I know we want to blame the lost for the way our world is today, but he's not talking to the lost as far as who's responsible. Hello? I mean, you know, we want to blame the homosexuals. We want to blame the abortionists. And I'm against all those things, but I'm just saying, he's not holding them accountable. He's holding us accountable. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves. Humble. What's he talking? He's talking about breaking up that fallow ground. Humility will expose a multitude of thorns in your life. Humility will expose a multitude of sin in our lives, in the roots of sin. But it all starts with humility. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And again, as we're humbling ourselves, as we bow ourselves before God, oh God, speak to my heart. Break up my fallow ground, God. Boy, all of a sudden, those sins are exposed before the Word of God, and we can see what they really are. Boy, I'll tell you, and then I can turn from my wicked ways. But see, we come to church with fallow ground, and we are not willing to humble ourselves. We come with an attitude, I'm all right. I'm doing okay. I got it under control. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Look at their ground. Isn't that amazing? Our weeds, Brother Keith, our weeds aren't quite as high as so-and-so's. And so we'll just concentrate on how bad their weeds are, and we ignore ours. Hey, weeds are weeds. Hello? Thorns are thorns, and thistles are thistles. Huh? And we feel pretty good about our weedy field. We feel pretty good about it because it's not as bad as so-and-so's. That'll get you in trouble every time. That's why we come and say, God, it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, God. God, I need my ground broken up. God, I need to humble myself before you. God, I know there's some roots that need plowed up, God. Please plow them up. Huh? He says, break up break up. Now, you know the thing about this, we can do it, as he says here, you break up your fallow ground. We can do it or God can do it. And God's good at it. God can break up some fallow ground. Now, first of all, we can break it up. Look at James 4, verse 10. And I already told you about humility, and that is the key. James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You know, we're so busy lifting ourselves up, we won't humble ourselves so He can lift us up. But we've got to humble ourselves before God. First thing under this is see it. Okay, look, it's your ground. It is your ground. It is your life. That ground, that life is capable of fruit for God. It's capable of fruit for God. Look at it. Listen to me. Look at your own life this morning, and what do you see? What do you see? What kind of ground is it? What's growing there? What do you see? You know, again, quit looking at the neighbor's field. Quit looking at everybody else's field. Just like James said, what is your life? What is your life? See it. See it. Number two under this, seek it. Seek it to be broken. Seek it to be broken so that thorns and thistles can be eliminated. Seek it to be broken so that your life can start producing fruit for the cause of Christ. Seek it to be broken so that you can do the will of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Seek it. Well, what do I do, preacher? You get out the plow, amen? Hebrews 4, verse 12. We've got to break up some fallow ground. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Watch this. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When I read this, I think about a plow busting up that ground and breaking it in pieces, and the roots and the weeds all being exposed. And in my life, the sins being exposed before the Word of God and having to be dealt with. You say, preacher, that's all right, and that'll work on a Sunday night, but today I just kind of want to go on. And your ground stays fallow and thorny until we put the plow to the ground. The Word of God, it divides. We read it. We need to listen to it. We need to pray. And we need to yield to the plow. And we need to say, God, please break up that ground and let go of those thorns. Well, I like my pretty little thorns. Yeah, but they're fruitless. Before our God in heaven, our ground is fallow. You can do it. That's what I would encourage everybody. You break up your fallow ground. But we all know this to be true. God can break up your ground too. He's real good at breaking up ground. And I'll be honest, I could give testimony after testimony of God breaking up fallow ground. You know, the life of Moses was broken up before God used him. Broken up big time. The fishing business of Peter, James, Andrew, and John, God had to break that up, didn't he? So they could go fishing for men. Matthew, he had a very successful life. God had to break that up so that Matthew could be used. You know, Paul had some pretty big plans as Saul. I mean, he was making lots of money. He was a big shot. He was a soldier. And you know, he was doing quite well. But God broke his plans up. You know, I don't think, and I guarantee you can ask him when we get to heaven, what do you think? Are you glad God broke up your businesses? Are you glad God broke up your ground? I think every one of them would say, I'll tell you what. You know, Moses, he was in Pharaoh's palace. He had it pretty good. You know what I mean? He had all the expensive toys when he was a child. He probably had four-wheelers and three-wheelers and snowmobiles and everything else and had it pretty good, and God broke all that up. But you know what? You know those with four-wheelers, three-wheelers, and all the fun toys and everything that Moses had and could have kept and everything, they never raised a rod up and watched the Red Sea part, did they?
See, you know, you're missing out on the things God has for you because you got your field out there and you're so proud of your field, but all it is thorns.
God has something else, as I said last week, and it's so much better. And God is quite able to break up our ground. How's He do it? Number one, with conviction. That's what He did with salvation. Conviction. I sat through service after service after service, and an invitation was given, and literally I trembled at the invitation. Conviction. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I know that. And that conviction. And you know what? It hadn't changed. God still convicts. I've been saved 33 years now. God still convicts. Thank God for that. How much of my ground has been broken up because of conviction? Now, I understand many times we come to church and just kind of ignore the conviction of God. I think about the people in Nehemiah, and we've been going through the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah chapter 8, they heard the word of God and they said, "We are guilty." Conviction. Boy, that'll break up your ground. That'll break up your ground. Conviction. How else can He break up our ground? Circumstances. You know, with Nehemiah, he just had to hear about the walls. And all of a sudden, his ground got broken up, didn't it? He just heard about the wall. The walls of Jerusalem, they're still destroyed. And boy, Nehemiah, his ground started breaking real fast. Weeds had to get pulled out. And as his ground was broken, Nehemiah, his plans changed real fast, didn't they? You know, I was in the back of a bus. And you've heard this story many times. I was 19 years old and had just been saved for a short time, still really a new convert. And I was in the back of a bus going to a basketball game. I was coaching a Christian school. And in the back of the bus, one of the ball players said, "Hey, coach," he said, "why don't we have devotions?" He was a good kid. He was very serious. He was not trying to embarrass me. I mean, I hadn't been saved very long. I didn't know much about the Bible. In fact, I knew nothing about the Bible. I said, "You know," I said, "so all the guys came to the back of the bus and all the ball team, they're all back there and they're all looking at me." And I whispered to him, I said, "Hey," I said, what's devotions?" He said, "Well, you just open the Bible and read a passage and we, you know, you explain it to us and we talk about it a little bit and then we have a word of prayer." I said, "Man, that sounds great." And I'll never forget as I opened up the Bible and just came to something, you know how you do, you open it up and just try to pick out a verse and I came to it and I looked at it and I had no idea. And all those eyes were on me. And so I looked, I turned the page and I said, "Hold on, I got a better one than that." And I turned the page and I didn't have any idea. And all of a sudden I could feel the tears come into my eyes. All these boys are looking to me to help them. And I had no way to help them. And God broke my ground up. God broke up my ground. And I said, "Fellas, I'll tell you what. There is something we can do." I said, "Let's just pray." And that's when God called me to preach there in the back of that bus. But He had to break me. He had to break up that ground. Oh, cocky? Oh, you better believe it. Got it all figured out? Oh, yeah. Know it all? Oh, yeah. And God broke my ground so He could speak to me. And calm. You don't know what you're missing out on because He's trying to break up your ground. I think about 16 years ago, and I had health problems all of a sudden. And you've heard this, but just briefly, I thought I was having a heart attack. A doctor said to me, "You are having a heart attack." He said one time, I was in an emergency. This happened several times where I went through every symptom of a heart attack. One time I was in the hospital and the doctor said, you just had a heart attack, but he said, "You're in the hospital, everything's okay now." Oh, that really makes you relax. Come to find out, though, I never had a heart attack. They thought I did. I thought I did. And I went through a period where God had to break up my ground and God had to expose some weeds of self-sufficiency. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm telling you, folks, it's okay. Now, would it have been better had I broken up the ground? Yeah, it probably seems like it would have been better.
Because I think about some of those experiences, and they were pretty tough. God had to break up my ground. We went to Bible college, and God had to break up the ground there of, you know, I can do it myself. And I had to come to my life's verse, I can do all things through Christ. Because I found out I couldn't do it myself. It's good stuff, that breaking up the ground with circumstances. But you know, God many times goes to break up our ground, and we go back to fallow ground, and sometimes He has to chasten us. Conviction, circumstances, chastening. Boy, he broke up Nebuchadnezzar's ground, didn't he? Every time I go through the book of Daniel, I come to good old Nebuchadnezzar, and he's got it under control, doesn't he? Hey, look at Babylon! I am the head of gold. Look what I've done. God said, Nebuchadnezzar, your ground is pretty hard. Nebuchadnezzar, your ground is pretty thorny. Nebuchadnezzar, who do you think you are? Hey, I'm the king. What do you mean, who do I think I am? I'm the head of gold. Don't you understand? I am King Nebuchadnezzar of the great Babylonian Empire. And God said, no, you're an animal in a field. In 7 years, that's exactly what he was. Can you imagine? They bring his food out in a bowl. The king. Can you imagine? Like an animal. Like an animal. And the whole time, you can just see his ground being broken up. Oh, God can do that, you know. God can do that. How much better that we expose those weeds of pride. How much better? How much better? I'll be honest, this altar for some is foreign. It's a foreign territory in the church. How much better for us to come? Oh, don't you understand? What would people think? Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I wonder what people thought of Nebuchadnezzar. Out there in, like an animal in the field. You know, when we come to church, let's be honest with our ground. Let's be honest. Let's be honest with God. God, my ground is pretty hard. It's pretty crusty. God, my ground needs to be broken up. Well, let's be honest with our ground. You know, really, as I look at my ground over these last few years, there's a lot of thorns and thistles. God, break up my ground. Because that brings us to number three, and that's the result. It can be broken by you. It can be broken by God. But it needs to be. Because the result, three things. First of all, you'll be more sensitive. God's people need to be sensitive. You know, Daniel was a godly man. Everything we read about Daniel, we went through the book of Daniel a few years ago, and everything about Daniel, he just seems to be such a godly man. But you know, when he prayed to God, he recognized himself as a sinner with all the people. God, we have sinned against you. He was very sensitive to the fact that he was a sinner like everybody else. No, he wasn't like, I mean, you know, if you compared his ground with everybody else's, but he said, hey, God, I know me. Nehemiah is the same way. We just going through it. Nehemiah, the same way. We have sinned against you, God. He could have said they, but he said, we, God, we have sinned against you. Hey, when you're praying for America and all bent out of shape because of the election and everything else, hey, how about God, me, God, it's me. Instead of they, because the they doesn't do a thing for our field. Doesn't help my ground. Sensitive to needs around us. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God dealing with us. Sensitive to lost people. When is the last time you talked to somebody about the Lord and it broke your heart? I was just thinking this morning about a decision. I'd kind of forgotten about it. And God reminded me of when we started our church in Bern, Indiana, over 25 years ago. And I was a young pastor. I still didn't know a whole lot. I mean, I had my notes from college, but that's about it. And I got my notes out a lot of times. But I'll never forget, my wife and I were driving in Geneva, Indiana. We were soul winning. And Geneva, Indiana is just outside of Bern. It's a suburb of Bern. Bern had 3,000 people. Geneva maybe had 1,000 people, so it was a suburb. And we were soul winning in Geneva, and there was a triple X-rated movie theater in Geneva. The only time I've ever taken my wife into a triple X-rated drive-in movie theater. And you want to hear the end of this story, don't you? I can tell. Pastor said. No. Anyway, it was daytime. Go ahead, you can sign it. I feel better. But anyway, it was during the day, and we noticed that we were driving by there, and we noticed people back there, and so we drove in there, and sure enough, there was a family in there, and the man was the guy that ran the projector for the Wicked drive-in theater, but there were three little children. I can still see those kids playing around all the speakers, and I don't know if you're familiar. I mean, no one here is familiar with drive-ins. Anyway, and these kids are running around and everything, and so we stopped and we talked to this family and talked to those little boys, three little boys, told them about Jesus. Their eyes lit up. Wow. Oh, we'd love to come to your church. We would like to hear about Jesus. Talked to the family and tried to get them saved, and didn't really get anywhere with them, but they said, well, they said, you know, we're not going to bring him to church, but if you figure out a way to get him there, we'd let him come. And then we started our bus ministry. God broke up my fallow ground. You know, I didn't want to start a bus ministry. That's work. That's costs a lot of money, doesn't it, Brother Kelvin? Brother Tim? Costs a lot of money. I didn't want to start. But I'll never forget, my wife and I talked about this. We were nearly in tears as we drove out of there. Those three little boys stared. They watched us drive through there. Their little eyes fastened on us like we're their only hope. And God broke up my ground. I'm just saying. You know, you need to be sensitive. That's why, you know, so many don't get in the bus ministry, don't get involved, because your ground is, it's hard. You're not sensitive to people around you. I think about the shepherd's ministry yesterday and the Christmas party that happened yesterday. Oh, I'll tell you what a blessing that was. Right around 100 shepherds, mental needs, physical needs, just all kinds of different needs. And boy, we had a time yesterday. Those folks, dear people, opening up their presents and, oh, look. And one of them had a coloring book, and somebody gave my wife and I a page, and they want us to color it. And I said, I'm not sure I can keep in the lines. But, oh, man, you talk about heaven. But see, there's a sensitivity to loving those people. Oh, yes. You know, it's just, you say, well, I don't know why we do this kind of stuff. And I guarantee there's Christians all over America just say, that's not that important. You got to break up your ground. Because the result is you'll be sensitive. The result is surrender. Jonah had to have his ground broken up when he was thrown in the water. And a whale swallowed him. I mean, he should have died. And yet, God sends a whale along to swallow him. And the swallowing wasn't punishment, saved his life. But he surrendered then. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather just get on the altar than be puked out of a whale. Amen. Sensitive. You're more sensitive, you surrender. And then, of course, the result, the ultimate result is service. Because that's where the fruit comes from. Serving God. That's where fruit comes from. Fruit doesn't come from sitting in church. That's where you get fed so that you can go out and do something for God. That's not popular, I know, but it's true. The fruit comes from serving God. The old Nehemiah, and I love this about Nehemiah. I love this in the book of Nehemiah. His heart is broken over Jerusalem. He cannot believe the walls are still broken down, and his heart's broken. It's a bad testimony, and he's weeping. And, oh, God, send someone. And God said, how about you? How about you? You said, it's exactly why I don't pray like that. And that's exactly why there's a bunch of thorns in your field. You know, before God called me to preach in the back seat of that bus, I had to, and I'll never forget this, I had to volunteer. And God simply used the preacher standing up one day and said, we need somebody to coach our Christian school basketball team. And there I was, not too far removed from being a hippie. In fact, I was still pretty much a hippie in many, many ways, including hair down over my shoulders. And I'll never forget the preacher standing up, and it wasn't a church this large, but a pretty good-sized church, and I was sitting right over there we were usually sat right in the middle, which was seems stupid today, because he preached about all of our sins, especially my wife's. And he just said, hey, we need somebody to volunteer, and I'm going, ooh, 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 and he's avoiding me. I didn't understand that then. I certainly understand it now, having pastored all these years. But and he's saying, all right, do we have any volunteers? And there I am, you know. Hey! And I wasn't the best candidate, but I was the only one. God broke my ground. You said, well, how could you do that? Oh, I forgot to tell you, I got laid off from my job, and that's how I was able to do it. Service. God says, break up your fallow ground. If there's fruit, there's no shame. But as Jeremiah preached over and over and over again, folks, our fields, they're full of thorns and weeds and thistles, and there's no fruit. Let's break up that ground, so that God can bring forth fruit. Let's bow our heads, please.